Good morning to those of you who are gathered here for worship, and good morning to those who are following us on the live stream, and hello to those who may be tuning in to the live, to the service on the internet later on. We do pray that for each and every one of us, this may be a good time of worship and a good time to build our faith and draw us closer to God. We're continuing with our series on heroes of the faith. There are a couple of notices. On Thursday this week, instead of having messy church here in church, we have Messy Goes Wild, and we will be meeting at 3:30 on Thursday at Peachfield Common. It does say, let Helen know you are coming, simply so that we have an idea of, I don't know, how many drinks to provide, that sort of thing. But if you are here, if children or grandchildren are visiting and you want to join us there for Messy Goes Wild on Thursday, everybody would be very, very welcome. And then half of us would be welcome at a ladies' breakfast, 9 o'clock next Saturday in the lounge at the Alturo. And for those of you who are thinking, Alturo? Where's that? It's easy. It's on Bellevue Terrace. As you go along Bellevue Terrace on the left-hand side there, you can't miss it. And there's a ladies' breakfast there. And again, all qualifying people are very welcome. So much for notices. Today in our series on Heroes of the Faith, we are going to be looking at, in particular, Joseph. And as Joseph was the guy with the multicoloured coat, I thought that looked a bit drab and black and white, so I thought we could have a more colourful, by faith, Joseph. And we will be exploring that as we go through our time of worship this morning. As ever, I do the yellow bits and you, or we all, respond with the white bits. So as we start to worship, from different lives we come to worship. From good weeks and bad weeks we come to worship, bringing great times and painful memories. We come to worship, needing healing, needing peace. We come to worship with hope in our hearts. We come to worship to the Almighty God. We come to worship to the King of Kings. We come to worship, and of course, together we come to worship. And so we'll stand, if we are able, for our first hymn as we worship the King, all glorious above. So we will remain standing and we will proclaim what we believe about the Lord of all might, whose boundless love encompasses each and every one of us, as we say together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Would you like to sit or kneel as we come to a time of confession and remembering that we have not always got it right, and yet here is a verse from Psalm 103. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Our Father has compassion on each one of us. And indeed, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. So let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, remembering all those things that we've got wrong, and being firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all, as we say together, Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon each one of us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We'll stand and sing, and you'll see that the ladies are taking the lead, and the rest of us will have a bit of an echo.
The bottom line says, you alone, God, are worthy of our praise, so let it be. Thank you. better than that. I thought it sounded a bit grim to me, didn't you? Come on, second verse, let's really enjoy. I will bow down. 3, 4.
If you'd like to sit down, Patience will come and bring us a reading.
Our reading starts with one verse from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt, and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. Genesis chapter 50, starting at verse 22. Joseph stayed in Egypt along with all his father's family. He lived 110 years and saw the third generation of Ephraim's children, also the children of Machir, son of Manasseh, who was placed at birth on Joseph's knees. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And Joseph made the sons of Israel swear an oath and said, "God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up from this place." So Joseph died at the age of 110, and after they embalmed him, he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Lord, may my words and all our thoughts draw us closer to you and build up our faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to imagine for a moment that you are writing that letter to the Hebrews. You are writing to your fellow countrymen. You want to build up their faith. You want them to be drawn into the Christian community. You want to strengthen them. And you realize that it would be a really good idea to give them examples of people whose faith had carried them through. And you go through Abraham and a few others and Noah, and then you get to Joseph. And you get to those words, "by faith, Joseph." And then you're sitting there and you're thinking, "by faith, Joseph. How shall I finish that sentence? What shall I put next? What was important about Joseph?" Clearly he was a man of faith. Clearly there were all sorts of things. What shall I put? I know. Right from a child, we can put, "by faith, Joseph believed he would become great." right back as a child. After all, he'd had those dreams. He'd had dreams of his brothers bowing down to him, and even his mum and dad bowing down to him. He was going to be great. He had a vision. He believed it would happen. Yeah, he'd had a couple of dreams. I wonder if he ever doubted whether they'd come true. Well, what do we make of that? Perhaps a little note to self. Don't dismiss those dreams. If God could speak through dreams to Joseph, perhaps God can speak through dreams today. I don't know quite how that all works. I can't stand here and say, I have had a tremendous dream and I knew what was going to happen next. But what I do know is that when I've had a problem, going right back to my student days reading maths at university, faced with a problem in the evening and I'm thinking, I don't know where we go with this one, I'll sleep on it. And very often I'd wake up the next morning and think, I know how I can do that. When I was earning a living, a problem at work, maybe a staffing problem, maybe a problem over who should do what, appointing staff, who knows? I'll sleep on it. And the next morning, it seemed much easier. Don't dismiss what God can do while you're asleep. But when you do have those things, share things wisely. I don't think that Joseph did that. It was not very clever to go and tell his big brothers that he was going to be in charge of them. It might have been a good idea to tell his mum. Sometimes telling your parents will help them, or even your grandparents, because they can then pray with you, pray for you, and help you achieve what you think your dream is. Now, we have a grandson, and he shared something with his parents. He's 11. He said, I've decided I'll go to Cambridge. Now, I don't know whether he'll end up going to Cambridge, but at least he had a way forward. And it was probably a good thing to share that with his parents, but probably a really bad thing to go and boast about it in the playground at school. That probably would not have gone down well. I don't know where he'll get to. I do realise that he's not a complete idiot. He does have... He obviously inherited the brains from his grandmother, you know, but like his father and grandfather, he's really a mathematician. But he's doing okay. Whether he's doing okay enough to get to Cambridge, time will tell. So share them wisely with people who can help you, but don't always go boasting about them. And of course, part of his problem was that he was his father's favourite. Yep, Jacob really didn't get it right. This little boy was his favourite son. And his other sons were jealous. His other sons didn't want that to be the case. Why should Dad care more for him than us? And Jacob having favourites caused all sorts of family troubles. Not least, I suppose, Joseph ending up getting sold as a slave into Egypt. Note to parents and grandparents, don't have favourites. By faith, Joseph believed he would become great. Perhaps we can do better than that. Perhaps we should write, by faith Joseph worked hard wherever he was. When his father said, take this lot to your brothers, go and see how they're doing, he did. When he ended up as a slave in Egypt, he worked hard where he was. If you like, he became Potiphar's estate manager. He rose to the top of the pack where he was. And he did so believing that God put him there. He worked, but I do wonder if at the time he's working as a slave and he perhaps thinks back to those boyhood dreams and he thinks, is that ever going to happen now? What's gone wrong? But he kept working at it wherever he was. And in a note to self on how that may affect us, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, let's do our best. Always do our best. Well, that's where he was. He believed. Maybe he doubted. I would certainly have doubted. He worked hard. He didn't give up. I know what we should put. By faith, Joseph used God's gift to interpret dreams. Well, there we are. He used God's gift to interpret those dreams. I wonder if he still thought that this is where God's put me when he was imprisoned, miscarriage of justice. There he is in prison. But then there were those other dreams, and he was able to interpret them. The butler got reinstated, and the baker got hanged. And perhaps when those dreams came true, and he had interpreted them, and he'd said to the butler, when you get out of here, just put a word in Pharaoh's ear and get me out. And the butler forgot. I wonder if the butler forgot whether Joseph doubted what was going on. So perhaps, like Joseph using his gift to interpret dreams, we need to use whatever gifts we have. They may not be spectacular. It may be a gift of being generous. It may be a gift of being kind to other people. It may be a gift of just listening to other people. It may be a gift of making coffee. I'm all for people with that gift. It may be a gift of just doing those things that nobody sees, but without which things would go wrong. Let's each one of us use the gifts that we have been given. So as we use God's gift, and sometimes things go wrong, perhaps in writing to the Hebrews, we would write, by faith, Joseph coped with the setbacks. There were several setbacks. There was the setback when he got sold as a slave. There was another setback when there was that miscarriage of justice that ended up with him being in prison. And now there's the setback that the butler's forgotten all about him. I don't know how I'd have coped with all that. Probably not very well. Well, what about it? Note to self, things can be disappointing. There can be setbacks, but God knows best. And as God knows best, we need to accept his timing. Supposing the butler had remembered Joseph, and he had said to Pharaoh, hey, Just the other day, when we were in prison, we had dreams, me and the baker, and those dreams came true. But the guy who interpreted them, he's in prison through a miscarriage of justice. And you ought to, can you see that right? He's a good guy, really. And Pharaoh's saying, yeah, all right, I'll let him out. And he says to the jailer, there you are. Let that Joseph bloke go. Maybe he would have thought, actually, if there's a guy there who can interpret dreams, I'll get him to go to one of my places where he can work within the Egyptian temples. He might be quite useful there. Or he might just have said, well, let Joseph out. And Joseph might have thought, I know, I'll make my way back to Canaan, see if I can find mum and dad and the family. Who knows? But he had to wait. And he waited and he waited until the right time. Because God knew that in his timing, he could do better than just give Joseph freedom. Yes, there were more dreams. There were Pharaoh's dreams. And Pharaoh's worried about his dreams. And the butler gets nudged into action at just the right time. And Joseph is brought from jail to interpret Pharaoh's dreams. And we know that after that, there was serious promotion for Joseph. Where do we find a guy as wise as this who can interpret dreams and tell us what's going to happen? And Joseph is appointed as prime minister or equivalent. And for the next 7 years, he went round taxing the farmers, taking the surplus grain, putting it in storehouses. And he taxed the people. By faith, Joseph taxed the people and built up the stores for the next 7 years. Now, if after that, the famine hadn't come, Joseph probably wouldn't have been re-elected at the next general election. This guy's just taking all our stuff in tax and we're getting nothing back. He could have lost a lot of popularity, but the famine did come. So, there we are. Joseph got to the top. Not sure my faith would be up to all that. But the famine came, and with it, Joseph had his fame, his fortune, and later on, his family reconciliation as well. Because what followed was in God's timing. But you know, the writer to the Hebrews missed all of that out. He didn't say any of those things. Instead, he jumps beyond all of that and says, by faith, Joseph spoke about the Exodus and the burial of his bones. He looked way into the future. What a remarkable thing that the writer to the Hebrews skipped the whole of Joseph's life and just looked to what was about to happen. In fact, about to happen 400 years after Joseph was alive, and says Joseph spoke about what would happen in the future. Yes, Joseph could, I guess, have had his own personal pyramid. He could have had a burial like Tutankhamun full of all those treasures of Egypt. But he didn't. And the book of Genesis closes with those words. After they had embalmed him, he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. No great building of pyramids, no great rich entombment. Yes, they did the things that they did and embalmed his body, and he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. But you see, picking out his, by faith, Joseph spoke about the Exodus and the burial of his bones and taking them back to the promised land. Joseph was preferring a future promise to the present riches. A future promise. And you know, we too have a secure future, a secure hope, and a great promise to look forward to. We aren't just about what's happening now. We are about a great future promise and security because Jesus has died and rose again for you and for me. We accept Jesus and we can focus on a certain and future promise. One day we will have a future. Short time ago, Margaret and I went to a Thanksgiving service and funeral for a retired vicar who actually spoke at our wedding. And in those days, we were in a 20s group in Abingdon, and one of the members of that group was asked by this retired vicar, 10 years ago, will you preach the sermon at my funeral? Now that's looking ahead to the extent that he said, you know, you can prepare it now, but one day, will you preach at my funeral? And of course, he did. I haven't thought quite that far ahead. I admit that I have not planned my funeral in that sort of detail. I have actually put in my will that I would like you to sing at that time one particular hymn, which I think does focus on a certain and future promise. And I think has those wonderful words in it that says, happy if with my latest breath I may but call upon his name, preach him to all and cry in death, behold, behold the Lamb. I think we could sing that now. Jesus the name, high over all, in hell or earth or sky, angels and men before it fall, and devils fear and fly. I hope you won't have to sing it at my funeral for several years, but regard this as a practice.
Thank you.
Let's sit or kneel for prayer.
Let's pray. Once again, Lord, we thank you for calling each one of us by name to travel along with you on our journey to the promised land. There are times when we lose our way, distracted by other things. But in your gentleness, you come into focus. Times when we are weary and you refresh us by your Holy Spirit. Forgive us, Lord, if we are guilty of packing away some of the gifts that you've given us. Help us at this time, Lord, to take them out, just to review them and to use them. And I'm just going to invite you now just to have a moment of silence with the Lord yourself, just thinking about the gifts that you have, and maybe the gifts that you don't use anymore. Bring those ones out. Just spend a few moments just with the Lord, just discussing what you need to do. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your unconditional love, that you love us no matter what. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our children and young people and young adults as they enjoy the summer break. Give them rest and enjoyment. We lift to you those who are awaiting exam results that will determine their future studies and career paths, as this can be a stressful time for them and their families. Let's take once again a moment in silence for anyone that we know, for our grandchildren, for our nieces and nephews, for our children. Let's just lift them to the Lord. You know them. And you love them. Let's just lift their names to the Lord. Lord, we thank you for the gift of all our children. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We lift to you our three churches, St. Andrew's, St. Mary's, and All Saints. We thank you, Lord, for our rector day, for bringing him safely back to us after his sabbatical. We pray blessing upon Dave and his family as they are spending time together, either at home or away. Lord, we pray that you'll refresh them all. We place into your hands this coming year for our churches, for wisdom, vision, hope and joy in our journey with you through life groups, youth work, toddler groups, CAP, the breakfast groups, Sunday schools, and the other groups that meet within the churches. Mentioned Sky, the autistic group that meets on a Tuesday and a Wednesday evening, and the Bereavement Cafe, bringing comfort to those in need of loss of a loved one. May all who come to our churches see you and let your fragrance be upon your people, so that people be drawn in to this place. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
We hold up to you, Sovereign Lord, those who live in fear, of danger of abuse, poverty, and war. Come, Lord Jesus, and bring the new creation where you will reign in peace forever. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Is this quiet and remain seated, or do we stand? Advise me. Right, we're going to stand and sing Make Me a Channel, and then You Chose the Cross. Because of Jesus, we are restored, and we are the body of Christ. In one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you. You may like to share the peace with those around you as Jeff comes up to celebrate communion for us.
Suki is coming up.
Brilliant.
She might need help with the mat.
Peace be with you.
This morning we are rededicating a chalice that's been sitting in the safe for quite some time. It was actually a gift to this church back in 1890, so it's got some age to it. So before we have communion, let's rededicate this chalice. Almighty God, as you have used this chalice in the past to nourish your people with the blood of Christ, so now we ask you to use it again, for we come to you thirsty, and you give us your life. Amen. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love you made us for yourself, and when we turned away you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. The end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. As we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ our risen Lord. With your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body because we all share in one bread. draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Let's thank God together. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. So we come to our final hymn, which reminds us that it is God's love that has kept and guided, urged and inspired us. Lord, for the years.
Thank you.
Lord, as we seek to live for you alone, we offer you these small tokens of all the good things that you have given us. We ask that they may be used to your glory in the building of your kingdom, as you use us in the week ahead, for Jesus' sake. Amen. So may the love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.